Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you this morning. Such a beautiful day. One of the things I have noticed is that the sun's coming up a little later. But the neat thing about it was that when I get here, the sun, we had the most beautiful sunrise. And if you missed that this morning, you didn't get up early enough, you missed a beauty. One of the great ones. Well, we have a couple of announcements. One that may not be in your bulletin, or it may, because Gene caught it, I think. The men's breakfast will be here at St. Luke's at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. And it's a BYOB, bring your own breakfast event. We'll follow the health guidelines for that. Also, we will have confirmation this week here at St. Luke's, and on next Sunday we'll have a council meeting, and there is a question of whether we have it indoors or outdoors. They're thinking about it. If everybody can make it and we can do it outdoors, it'll be great. But if we have to have somebody on Zoom, well, that's going to be a different question. So we'll have to play with that one. Are there other announcements? Such a nice, quiet group. Okay, then let's begin. Let's stand as you're able, and we'll turn to the Thanksgiving for Baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God, Lord, whose love in humble service, number 712 in the Red Book.
Love in humble service, o'er the way.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken in us the hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit. And with this food, fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading comes from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. God invites Israel to a great feast at which both food and drink are free. God also promises to make an everlasting covenant with all the peoples, with promise that previously had been limited to Israel. As David was a witness to the nations, these nations shall now acknowledge the ways in which God has glorified Israel. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the portions of Psalm 145 responsibly. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you and to all who call upon you faithfully.
You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cries and save them.
You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever.
The second reading is from the 9th chapter of Romans. This begins a new section in Paul's letter to which he will deal with the place of Israel in God's saving plan. He opens it by highlighting how Israel's heritage and legacy include being God's children, having God's covenants, being given God's law, participating in worship of God, and receiving divine promises. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Before I share the gospel this morning, I want to give you a geography lesson. In my growing up days, I always thought of the Sea of Galilee as being this huge sea, a sea that was probably bigger than any of the Great Lakes. But the fact is, having been there, the Sea of Galilee is going north to south, probably about 11 miles long. Going east to west, the Sea of Galilee is at the most 6 or 7 miles wide. So that from any place around the seashore, you can see the other shore. And you can see people on the sea wherever they are. That's why the gospel reads as it does. For when Jesus heard that John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded by Herod, he got in a boat and he withdrew from there, which was Bethsaida, and he went to a lonely place by himself. Now, when the crowd heard this, they followed him on shore and walked to where he was, so that when Jesus got out of the boat, he saw the large crowd and he had compassion for them. And he cured many of them. Now when evening came, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, it's late and this crowd is big. Send them to the villages to get food for themselves." But Jesus said, "You don't need to send them away. You do it. You feed them." Well, they said, "Lord, we only have 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish." Jesus said, "Bring them to me." And then he had the whole crowd sit down. And when they brought him the bread and the fish, he raised them up and blessed them. And then he broke them, gave them to the disciples to distribute. And when everybody had had their fill, the disciples went about and collected the broken pieces left over and collected 12 baskets full. Now, there were about 12,000 men, women, and children in that crowd. And that's the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I really latched on to one of the words in the opening of that gospel. When Jesus has just heard the bad news. His cousin John, whom he had played with as a kid, has been beheaded. He is going through grief. So he gets in a boat and he tries to go someplace where he can be by himself to grieve. But when he gets out of the boat, there is this huge crowd of people. And even though he's hurting and in pain himself, it says he had compassion for them. And he healed many of them. Compassion. That's the word for today, really. Because that's what we're called for. Excuse me. I feel a great deal of compassion for the hungry, the homeless, the refugee. Now, some of that may have come from my experience in Iowa. I served a congregation there, and one day I've been there a few years, and the bishop called and said, asked if I would serve on the board of Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Iowa. Well, of course, what do you say? I did. A year after I was on the board, I was also elected president of this huge org. It's the largest social service agency in the state of Iowa. And fortunately, we had a fantastic executive director who did all the real work. All I had to do was conduct meetings once a month. But at each of our monthly meetings, one of the departments would give a report about the counseling and the work that they were doing in various areas of social service. The one that hit me the hardest was one who gave a report on refugee children. At that point, there were a number of wars. This is in the 80s, and there were a lot of wars and a lot of children who were displaced and in refugee camps. In fact, what they found was 5,000 children without adults. They ranged in age from age 5 to 16. These were children who were basically homeless, and most of whom had no parents anymore. The counselor told us about how they were having to try to find homes for them. Now, Iowa's Lutheran Family and Children's Service weren't trying to place all of these 5,000 kids in foster homes by themselves. Every state has its own organization, and they divided them up. I think we were responsible for about 360 of them, which is a huge number for that state. But he put a display of pictures that the kids had drawn describing what happened to them on their journey. Some of them drew pictures of their travels, but several of them really caught my heart. And most of us on the board were the pictures they drew of them being in hiding while their parents and siblings were killed, brutally tortured, raped, and killed. I get broken up years later just telling about it. But that's what our church does. We are there for those children. And we continue to receive calls for help in every area of social need. And Jesus calls us to be his people in the world. And indeed, we are. And we're kind of like the disciples. Remember when Jesus told them that they needed to do it? They needed to feed this crowd of 5,000? Now, it's not written in the text, so don't take this literally, but my thought was that what went through the disciples' head was, "Are you crazy, Jesus? There are 5,000 people here. How can we feed all them?" Well, wouldn't that go through your head too? What do you do with so little? And yet, Jesus blessed it, and it became great. It kind of reminds me, I used to like to watch MacGyver. Did you ever see that series on TV? You know, he'd get in a fix. He would be in such trouble. And it looked like it was going to be the end of the series because he was either going to get blown up or killed because he was in a trap of some kind. But he would take duct tape, maybe some seasonings out of a kitchen cabinet and things out of a junk drawer, and all at once he had the solution to the problem. And it's almost like God says, "Give me whatever you got, and I will bless it, and I will make it work just for you." That's what Isaiah says in the first reading. "Come, you who are hungry, thirsty, come. Even if you don't have any money, it doesn't matter. Come, I will take care of you. I will bless you." Now, we have a problem with things that are free, don't we? I know we've had experience. Sue and I learned the hard way, too. We received a free trip to the Bahamas. In the end, it cost us more than the trip was worth. So we're leery of those things that are free, and yet that's what God offers the people coming back from exile. Come, I will take care of you. Don't worry about the details. I will help you and give you what you really need. St. Paul really says the same thing about the gift of God's grace and forgiveness. Come, God's gift has been paid for by Christ himself. He was the do-it kit who comes into our lives, gives his life, his death on the cross just for us. And we have received it as a free gift. Again, it's kind of hard to believe that God could be that gracious and loving, isn't it? But think about it. There was a small mining town in which the pastor happened to be preaching about that particular lesson. And one of the miners came up to me and said, I find this really hard to believe that all I have to do is turn to God and he'll forgive me all my sins. Well, the pastor said, did you go into the mine yesterday? And he says, 6 days a week I go down into that pit. He said, well, how did you get out of the pit? Well, he said, I got in this cage and it lifted me to the top and I was able to get out. He said, well, what did that cost you? He said, well, it didn't cost me anything. Well, the pastor said, didn't you have a little bit of concern that getting out of that cage was too cheap? He says, well, no. He says, well, how come it was so cheap? And he said, well, when you think about it, it really wasn't cheap. Because the company had to sink that pit and build the cage. It cost me nothing, but it cost the company a great deal. And then it dawned on him. Isn't that the story of Christ in our lives? It's a free gift that we receive, but he paid the price for it. And that's a lesson that's really hard for most of us. There is a passage in the Lord's Prayer that most of us pray quite often. Maybe some people pray it every day. Forgive us our sins, debts, trespasses, whichever you use. Forgive us our sins as we have been forgiven. Wow. That's a hard passage if we take it seriously, isn't it? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Whew. When I came a couple of years ago, there was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. A lot of things had been said that were harsh. Some people really got hurt. And some people really may feel guilty about it. But what I'm asking you today is to take a few minutes, or a few seconds even, and just pray that prayer again. Forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. Wow. To realize that those aren't just words. Those are our promise. You have already been forgiven. It's not like somehow or other you've got to do certain things in order to get it to happen. It's happened. Now it's your turn to say, Father, I forgive as I have been forgiven. Now, Jesus also teaches the disciples another lesson. And we've talked about how he turns five loaves of bread and a couple of fish into enough to fill everybody who is there. Amazing what can happen when we place a little bit in his hands. What does God call us to do? Does God speak to us? Or is that just something that happens to prophets in the Old Testament? Or, you know, there are some around here who seem to think that God speaks to them too. But does God really speak to us? Somebody sent me a story that I need to share. And it's supposed to be a true story about a young man who was at a Bible study. And the Bible study had to do with hearing the voice of God. The leader said, God speaks to every one of us in a different way. But we don't always understand or follow through with what God tells us to do. Well, afterwards, the young man was in a small group with some other people while they were having some coffee, and he said, you know, I think that's a bunch of hooey. I don't really think God can speak to us. But afterwards, he got in his car, and he thought, okay, we'll just try this out. So he prayed. Okay, God, I don't believe what I just heard, what we were talking about. I don't think, God, that you really talk to people. But if you do, I'm going to listen tonight on the way home. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. So he started up his car, and he starts driving, and pretty soon something entered his mind. He said he thought he was being told to buy a gallon of milk. And he said, I got milk at home. Well, okay, if this is God, I'll go do it. I can always use another gallon of milk. So he went to 7-Eleven and was able to pick up a gallon of milk. Got it in the car, and he said, okay, God, if that's it, what do you want me to do with it? He's driving along. Pretty soon, something tells him he should turn down 7th Street. Well, he didn't have anything to do down 7th Street, so he went on. And all at once, he thought, well, maybe that was God telling him to turn. So he turned around, and he went back down 7th Street, and pretty soon, he felt the urge to turn down another street. And he said, that street, Lord, doesn't look like a very nice street. You know, it's not terribly bad, but I don't know if I really want to drive down there. And but he said, okay, if it's you, I'll do it. As he's driving along, he stops the car. And he has this urge, or something, that was telling him, take that gallon of milk up to the door in the house across the street. He looked at that house, and it was dark. He said, Lord, if I go up to that house and I knock on the door, they're going to be mad at me. They may even shoot me for waking them up. If this is you, okay, I'll do it. And so he walked up to the house and knocked on the door, and there wasn't any answer. And he thought, oh, good, I'll go away. And all at once, there was somebody yelling at him, what do you want? Which wasn't very encouraging. But the guy opened the door, and he was in his PJs, and he said, what do you want? And the guy lifted up the gallon of milk, and he said, the Lord told me to give you this. And he put it in his hands. Well, the guy all at once turned around, ran back to the back of the house, and came back carrying his crying baby. And tears flowed down his cheeks. And he said, we were just praying that we could find some way to buy milk. We had extra bills this month and didn't have enough money to buy milk for the baby. And his wife was in the kitchen with the gallon of milk, probably preparing a bottle, and said, I was praying for an angel. Are you an angel? With that, the young man had tears running down his face. He reached in his pocket, pulled out all the money he had, put it in the man's hands, then went back to his car and wept. God had spoken And he would never have known if he had not followed through. So I tell you, listen. Listen. God is calling. Listen. God may be calling you to share his grace, to forgive somebody who is unforgivable. God may be calling you to share a cup of cold water in his name. God may be calling you to share some milk or a loaf of bread or a helping hand or a listening ear. But listen, listen, God is calling, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Break now the bread of life. Hymn number 515. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and help helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. And I'll pause at the appropriate place to add names for the prayers. You take resources that appear to be meager, bless them, and there is enough. May your church trust that what you bless and ask us to share with the world is abundantly sufficient. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your bountiful creation offers sustenance and life for all creatures. Protect this abundance for the well-being of all. Reverse the damage we have caused your creation. Replenish groundwater supplies. Provide needed rains in places of drought and protect forests from wildfires. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You offer yourself to all the nations of the peoples of the earth, inviting everyone to abundant life. Bring the prophetic vision to fullness, that all nations will run to you, and that nations who do not know you will find their joy in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Hear the anguish of tender hearts who cry to you in suffering and satisfy their deepest needs. Bring wholeness and healing to those who suffer in body, heart, soul, and mind. Especially Michelle's sister and those we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You offer freely the fullness of salvation. Give our congregation such a welcoming heart that our words and actions may extend your free and abundant hospitality to all whom you encounter. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that the Holy Spirit continues working amongst our joint call committee, collectively and through each member individually. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our fellowship ministry. We pray that the Spirit will also move in the hearts of those potential candidates as well. Lord, in your mercy, you gather your saints as one, united in the body of Jesus. Bring us with all your saints to the heavenly banquet. We remember with love and thanksgiving the saints we have known. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. In the certain hope of that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
The service continues with the offertory. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God. You reveal your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy. God of power and light.
proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. At this time, I invite you to peel back the elements in the little cup that you have received. I realize that the top part is a little more difficult to get off, but once you take the bottom part, be careful that you do, it may splatter. I look forward to the day we can go back to doing what we've always done. Am I a traditionalist or what? So, the body of Christ, though some people are still working at it, it's not easy. We'll wait. My suggestion, if you're having trouble getting to that wafer, is to peel the bottom part off first, and then it loosens the top part so that you can get to it. At least that's how it worked for me. Sometimes it works. There's got to be a better system. We'll
have to look at that.
What?
With practice.
With practice, okay. Anyway, the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread and life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Hymn number 654, The Church's One Foundation.
Charter of salvation.
grace endures. Let us go in peace and share the good news.